Thank you very much indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great pleasure, and I'm suffering an attack of deja vu because I used to cover New South Wales Farmers Conferences as a rural journo, but that was back in the 1980s and maybe even earlier than that. I dare not remember. Tonight there's going to be 216,000 more people sitting down to dinner than there were last night. So the challenge of how we are going to feed this growing human population, which is going to expand to around about 10 billion or so by the mid-century, is a real challenge. It is probably the biggest challenge that we have ever faced in the whole of human history, and let me explain why. The population projections from the UN you can see before you. A lot of people talk about 9.2 billion by 2050, but it depends whether you assume high or low birth rates. There could be 10 or even 11 billion people by that time. There will certainly be about 10 billion people by the 2060s, and they will all be wanting to eat at the same sort of level that we in Australia enjoy, that they have in America, Europe, and so on. So we're eating much more protein, ladies and gentlemen. This means that the world food supply, like it or not, has to double. But the issue is, I mean, we could just address this issue in the same way that we did in the 1970s, by, you know, applying more technology, more skills, and things like that. However, the trouble is we're running out of just about everything that it takes to grow good quality, sustainable food. We're running out of water, land, we're running out of oil, phosphorus, fish. We're running into a serious drought in R&D. We're running into a capital drought. Any farmer anywhere in the world can tell you there isn't enough capital coming into agriculture. And we are dealing with the change, a profound change in the climate in which we farm. So this means all of these constraints are now coming together to act on agriculture and food production worldwide. And it's not like there's one or two of them. This is not a simple problem. This is a complex problem. It's like, I liken it to the Indian story of the blind men feeling the elephant. You know, whenever you read in the media about what is causing high food prices or food shortages, people will tell you it's one thing or the other. It's not. It's 10 things, 10 major drivers all acting together. And unless we solve all of those drivers, we have not solved the problem. So let's look at water. I mean, around the world, groundwater is running out in every country that uses it to grow food. It's running out in China. It's running out in the United States. It's running out in India. So everywhere, we're depleting those groundwater resources at a phenomenal rate. Ogallala Aquifer in the US has got somewhere between 15 and 20 years supply left. The Chinese on the North China Plain have gone through the top aquifer completely, exhausted it. They're now halfway through the second, the bottom aquifer. So they've probably got about 15 years left of water there. Rivers are drying up. I mean, that's the Colorado in that picture, but you might as well take a picture of the Murray Mouth. Lakes are disappearing. Lake Chad there, that supports 40 million people, has shrunk by 90% in the last 30 years. You know, this is happening universally as humanity goes through its water without regard to the future. And, of course, the glaciers on high mountains, the snowpack, is also dwindling away. Arguments exist about how fast it's going, but it's going. At the same time, we're seeing incredible competition for the world's water. Now, at the moment, ladies and gentlemen, agriculture uses three-quarters of the world's fresh water. But as you know from the coal seam gas debate and all the others that are coming forward, the energy sector is going to double and even triple its use of water. And who's that water coming from, ladies and gentlemen? From farmers. Cities, they're going to double by 2050, so their water demand is going to double. Minerals processing, as that expands, that requires water. That too, all of this water, generally speaking, comes from farmers. In the city of Shanghai, where the water used to grow rice, it now supports that immense mega city. So there are all these competing land uses for water. And regrettably, you know, agriculture is on the short end of the stick in all of these debates. It very seldom wins the political argument over who gets the water. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about here in Australia, in our Murray-Darling Basin debate, or whether you're talking about China or India or America. Farmers tend to miss out in that argument. People don't see the importance of water in their food supply.